This episode is sponsored by HQ Intelligent Health. Hello and welcome to Integrating Chinese Medicine. I'm Elizabeth Cullen.
And I'm Georgia Payton. And we're traditional Chinese medicine practitioners and acupuncturists. We're your hosts, providing an educational platform for practical ways to integrate Eastern medicine into your Western lifestyle.
Throughout this podcast series, we will be discussing the benefits of getting to know our bodies in a practical sense and how to be an advocate for your own health. This podcast is intended as generalized health information only and was relevant at the time of recording. It is not a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, or as a substitute for treatment from a medically trained practitioner. Guests who speak on this podcast express their own opinions, experiences, and conclusions. So we are back in the studio after a year hiatus. Welcome back, Georgia.
Thanks, Liz. It's so good to be back in the studio recording. And also, it was so nice to see you and meet little Harriet just last week in Sydney.
I know. Wasn't that the best? To meet little Remy and to see the girls playing together was just like the dream come true.
I know. Long overdue.
How long's it been? It's been a year and a half, longer.
I think so. So I moved down to Melbourne. You were 36 weeks pregnant.
Yes, you were 16 weeks or roughly. Yeah.
And then I haven't seen you since. Obviously, we've caught up, but
yes,
listening back to the episode that we recorded about our postpartum experience was pretty much our first time chatting about how we went and what we've been up to. So it was great to see you both.
Yeah, it was unreal. And just, listening back to this recording, there's so many pearls of wisdom in there from our own personal journeys in our postpartum period.
Yeah.
We've come so far.
We really have. And reflecting back on our experience it was a lot of fun. It was great.
It was so much fun. So how are you? What's happening this week?
Yeah, we're good. Remy is teething, so we're just riding the highs and lows of that. But she got her first tooth this week, so that was a huge milestone.
It's huge, but challenging.
Yeah. How's your week been, Liz?
It's been really good. Harriet's just turned one, so that's been a huge milestone for our family. It was a day of joy and lots of fun, and she had a ball. So, she had so much fun. So, we're just currently in the process of weaning. So that is a process in itself. I'm just kind of going off Harriet's cues, though. So we're just working as a team. So no rush, but at the same time, coming to an end of our breastfeeding journey. So, it was really interesting listening back to the podcast, actually, and just seeing what's been consistent through the last 1 year of postpartum for myself. Mm-hmm. And I've really noticed that that's been acupuncture with Clarice and Molly at the Dow. And then Chinese dietary therapy has made such a difference, like the period porridge, which we speak about, the Chinese herbal soup. I found that that's made such a difference at any time that I've felt deficient throughout the last year of like picking that up as well. But you know how we speak about the importance of supplementation as well.
Yeah.
And just being so,
on top with supplements.
Being compliant each day just makes such a difference. So, interestingly, before HQ Health has come on for the sponsor for this podcast, I actually did mention them in the episode about how they were so effective and supportive through the postpartum stages, especially that first 40
minutes.
So I found that the postbirth vitality and the breastfeeding vitality were both really supportive, warming supplements. I found that I would actually put those in a smoothie in the afternoon. So you know how we're talking about like that was one of the biggest factors in those early newborn days of being able to actually get nutrients and food in
as like it's one of those first things.
So I've actually found that has been really supportive, and recently I've been taking the Motherhood Glow Collagen as well, which that's been great. So I guess HQ Intelligent Health, they support mothers to thrive, which is just so beneficial. And from my own experience, and I recommend these to patients as well, they're actually the only traditional Chinese herbs that I'll recommend for patients in the postpartum stage, especially while breastfeeding. They are organic traditional Chinese herbs, and they're also whole food vitamins. So I think that blend is really great. There's a whole range, but yeah, they're the ones that I took.
And I guess from a Chinese medicine perspective, they're nourishing qi, nourishing blood, and calming the mind to support the body post-birth.
Yes, yeah. And yeah, just that warming element just makes such a difference. So, yeah.
And we want to instill confidence in our patients postpartum that they can take Chinese herbs safely. So these products are all organic, and they can safely take them to support their body and support their recovery. And that's what we talk about in this episode.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, as you just flagged, Georgia, just making sure that the quality of the Chinese herbs is of a high standard and, organic, because, whether you're breastfeeding or whether you're not, you know, from a postpartum recovery side of things, we want to make sure that you've got the highest quality of the supplements.
We hope you guys enjoy this episode, because we chat a lot about our recovery and our own personal experiences. But before we dive in, Liz, I think you had a little mention.
Yes, yeah. So Heart Kids Australia was an incredible support to us in our first 40 days. And they are a organization that support children with congenital heart disease and support their families. If you enjoy this episode and are able to take a pearl or wisdom away, and you're able to, my family and I would really appreciate a donation to Heart Kids Australia. You'll find the link in our show notes. We really hope you enjoy this episode like we did. Hello and welcome back to Season 3, Episode 2. My name is Liz.
And I'm Georgia.
And after a year hiatus and two special new additions, we are so excited to be back in the studio sharing insights into traditional Chinese medicine with you, with a personal insight as well.
Yes. So today we're going to focus on what is the fourth trimester, but we want to tailor the recording about what our personal experience was. We realized listening back to that first episode, we had lots of information to give you. But through our personal experience over the past year, we hope that we can give you some advice and insight into what we did during those first 40 days from a traditional Chinese medicine perspective, as well as being traditional Chinese medicine practitioners.
Yes, definitely. So today we're going to go into how we sat the first 40 days with our postpartum experiences with traditional Chinese medicine. Now, if you'd like to dive specifically into what the first 40 days are, then we recommend that you go back to our previous episode, episode 1, what is the fourth trimester? But today, just a quick summary. So what is the 40 days? Well, the first 40 days is also known as Wei Yu Zi, which is sitting the month, and it's the gateway between life before baby and then life with baby. So the first 40 days in traditional Chinese medicine is one of the three golden opportunities, along with menstruation and menopause, for women to be cared for and supported to heal and actively improve their long-term health in regards to future fertility, menstrual cycles, and menopause. In traditional Chinese medicine, the first 40 days are crucial for the immediate and future health of both mother and baby. It is a time recommended to rest, recuperate, and be supported. So, Georgia, what does sitting the month entail?
Yeah, great question. So, traditionally, the practice is known as sitting the month. So, originally, sitting for a month was what a mother did in China. So she would be confined inside her home, away from cold and wind, limiting socializing, and really encouraged to rest. So the new mother, she would be supported 24 hours a day with meals, massage, and abundant support with her baby. So surveillance that the mother would be following these guidelines would be by her mother or mother-in-law to ensure her recovery and her future longevity. So sitting the month is actually still encouraged culturally in China, with fourth trimester hospitals in China as well as in Korea still available, and these are called confinement hotels.
So interesting. Imagine if we had confinement hotels in Australia.
Oh, my God, I know. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
It'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Liz, why do you think it is so important that women sit the month?
So the first 40 days is important for a number of reasons. I think it pays respect and shines a light on the previous 9 months of growing a baby as well as birth, whether that be labour and birth or a scheduled C-section or emergency C-section. This is a period of time that is essential for the immediate and future health of the mother. And it's not only for her physical health and recovery, but also her mental and emotional well-being. Now, in the West, we are noticing an increased awareness in sitting the month and the first 40 days.
Definitely.
Yeah, which I think is something that's really promising. But I think today we'll also unpack with the raise or with the awareness that has been raised, also can come a strive for like the perfect first 40 days. And I think it'll be really good to unpack the expectation of what the first 40 days can bring.
Because I think even going into the first 40 days, I know, and we will chat about this, but my intention and I guess a little bit of my personality, I was like, I have to do it perfectly.
Yes.
Have all these things.
Yeah.
That I need to be doing, and this is the way it needs to go. But in reality, it didn't happen like that.
No, and like the pressure, you're a traditional Chinese medicine practitioner, right? So like you have the knowledge there and you have the skill set. And I think it's one of those things that if we found it difficult, I think that really highlights the importance of this conversation, because it's really needed to know, okay, how practically can you sit the first 40 months? Realistically, what can it look like?
Yes, and for women not to feel guilty if they don't have all their ducks in a row and they're doing X, Y, and Z and it's perfect. Like if you do one or two things out of what the traditional culture recommends, then I think that's enough.
Yes, that's definitely enough. And whether that is, as we'll talk about, is just sit with a cup of tea and that's your moment of rest, then that's amazing. You are paying respect to yourself in the first 40 days. So should we dive into what our intentions were pre-birth?
Yes. Yeah.
Let's do that.
So let's think. So my first intention was that I was going to sit and do absolutely nothing, majority of the time. I knew I was going to keep an open mind because I knew exercise and movement is such a huge part of my life and for my physical and mainly for my mental and emotional well-being. I was like, well, I know I'm going to have to move my body in some way, shape or form, but that was going to look like maybe some gentle stretching or maybe walking to the closest park and having a seat.
Lovely.
What about you, Liz? What was some of your intentions?
So one of my intentions was to be prepared enough to not be prepared. So for something that was unknown, I love to be as educated as possible going into something, but I knew that I had to surrender going into labor, but that will be another episode. But I'm also going into the first 40 days because you really just don't know how your birth will go, but also how your baby will be and how that first 40 days will be. So I think that was number one. Number two was the education with my husband. So making sure that my husband was really across what the first 40 days was, why it was important for my body, but also for me, and also educating our family and friends of what our expectations were going to be for the first 40 days. So we really wanted to create the space for the three of us to adjust as being a family of three, and to have that sacred time with the three of us with limited visitors and making sure that there was a lot of slow time there. So I think that was probably the two largest intentions for us. In addition would be like, as we'll talk about what we did integrate, but like the chicken Chinese herbal soup, that was definitely something that I wanted to do. I wanted to do the mother warming. I made sure with my husband that it was really important that I was able to get to an acupuncture treatment as soon as possible. So that was good. I'd booked that in with the Dow. And then other than that, I was pretty open.
to what I was, was going to bring.
I was the same. I guess I spoke to my husband about creating those healthy boundaries with family and friends. And for us, that looked a little bit different because we moved into state. We moved to Melbourne. So both our families, like both our parents would have had to have flown down to Melbourne to come and see the new baby. So we had discussions about what that would look like and how, when we wanted them to actually come and see Bub. And I'll talk about what the reality of that is a little bit later on. But, you know, so that was a big thing that we had to have a think about and we had to chat about as well. And especially with our families and then with our friends, our new friends that live here too.
Of course.
So that was something. And then also I, listening back to our previous episode, I was such a huge advocate for sleeping when baby's sleeping. And I really thought and surrendering to the mess in the house. And I was like, I'm just going to be this new woman.
And I'm so sorry to all the patients that I've said that to as well in clinic in my career.
Me too.
When I heard that in postpartum and my mum would say, look, just go and have a rest. I'm like, look, I really just want to have a moment of just like cleaning the house.
And then it's
still like quite a peaceful environment.
Because it had looked like there was just this like whirlwind of mess in my house.
Cyclone.
So then Remy was put down and then I was like, okay, I think I have 30 minutes to like unstack the dishwasher, put a load of washing on.
Yes. And don't you find like that felt like you actually achieved something to me? That was like,
oh my God,
something around the house. Other than mothering, I achieved being able to like, okay, I folded some laundry or like I washed the whites. Yes. Or I soaked something really well.
it's like that tab was closed.
Yeah, it was nice. Yeah, yeah. Your perspective is just completely different.
Oh, my God, so different. And I don't think we could have known that until we were in it, right?
Oh, 100%, 100%. And I think that's why this episode is so important because it shines the light on our professional knowledge and then also this episode is now showing how personally our first 40 days was and it was very recent for both of us. So,
And what our real experience was.
Yeah, what our real experience was. So, yes. I was like, the pig trotter soup. That's what I'm going to use for breast milk supply. And
yes,
I couldn't even eat it.
Did you make it?
I made it. I don't know if I stuffed
Go,
it.
Go, girl. Good on you.
I made it probably 4 months postpartum and I couldn't eat it. And my husband came home and there's these pig trotters in the bowl. And I just, it was terrible. It was, So, look, patients have said that they enjoyed it and it worked really well for them, but I tried even just drinking the broth and I couldn't. So that's just another little personal experience just to add.
Yeah, right. See, how good was the Chinese herbal soup though? That chicken soup.
Amazing. And like literally just like that first sip post-birth, I was like, you are healing my
Yes, inside. I feel like my body is being nourished right now.
Yes, yes. I was like, I am home. I am home back in my body with traditional Chinese medicine. But yeah, so that was incredible. I couldn't actually believe, because obviously like I've used that Chinese herbal medicine soup as you have before at previous times in our life.
Yeah, just like post-COVID or post-flu. But this was something different. Like it was just so nurturing. It was like an internal hug.
It was. And it felt like the medicinal properties of those herbs, you could taste it. And it was, that was unbelievable. So, so there are intentions.
Yes. So what else did I have as my intention? Consistency with supplements too. That was something that I was like, I have to keep going with my supplements, no matter how sleep deprived I am.
Yeah. 100%.
I have to keep going with those supplements.
And how did you go with that?
Great. That's the one thing that I have been so on. And it makes such a difference.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it is actually amazing how much supplementation helps in postpartum. And especially because we're both breastfeeding, I think also our body is still under a big demand and we need that support. I think supplementation makes a huge difference. And I think if that was the one thing that you did in the first 40 days would be unbelievable as a service for yourself. Because really, at the end of the day, sometimes when you just want to go to bed, really, like, you take that next, you know, 5 to 10 minutes, mix the magnesium, add the supplements, and you just know, like, thank you to my body. Like, I just say thank you for everything that you have done to support me and Harriet today.
I like to do it because I like to take the supplements because I'm like, I know I'm giving some to Remy too.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, it's being passed along. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
So, should we talk about our reality of the first 40 days?
Yes, let's do it.
Yeah. So, Liz, what was your reality of the first 40 days?
So, my reality of the first 40 days was the highest of absolute highs and the lowest of lows. So, I birthed in a private hospital. And a little bit of background context, although I know we're going to dive into this in another episode, but I had a physiological birth with Harriet and she was 4.7 kilos. So, quite a significant birth weight for a vaginal birth.
Healthy girl,
which really gave her an amazing head start, which was, so thankful for. But so for my body, that was something to already take into consideration with healing. I wanted to take my placenta home to bury it. So a cool tip, which I hadn't thought about, was take a Tupperware container for your placenta. Because
what did you end up taking?
I didn't take anything because I didn't think about it. And then my obstetrician knew because in my birth preferences, I'd said, I really want to take my placenta home. So he said to the midwife, look, can you go and find a Tupperware container? And the midwife came back with a very small Tupperware container. She's like, look, this is all I can find. And the obstetrician was like, okay, well, just you're going to have to make it for you. So my mom, God love her, she came and met Harriet that afternoon and she took it home. And the placenta had been in the freezer for almost a year. Been there for quite a while, which I know we'll jump into in a little while. Harriet's almost 12 months. So how the rest of the 12 months postpartum have been and that ritual of burying the placenta. But that's a quick hot tip. Yep. So if you are planning on burying your placenta, you will need a Tupperware container.
For our listeners who don't know that you can take your placenta home and bury it. What was your reasoning for wanting to bury your placenta? Because I know we did that beautiful women's circle, but just for listeners who don't know about it.
So I wanted to acknowledge and respect the placenta and how it had supported Harriet throughout the pregnancy. It's this incredible organ that I wanted to do something with. So, we can link in the show notes why placenta encapsulation is something that is not beneficial for the mother in postpartum, or you can listen to our previous episode, but I did want to do something. So I'd spoken to my mum about could I bury the placenta in her backyard? Yep. And she kindly said yes. So, an incredible, incredible ritual that hopefully will continue to do. But so I'll dive into that a little bit more a bit later. But we had 4 days in hospital, so being in a private hospital, and I had my chicken soup every day. I made sure that when I was preparing the chicken soup the labor preparation period, that it was all in portions, and we brought that to the hospital when I was in labor. So that was amazing. As we said, I could just feel the difference there with the chicken soup. I made sure my feet were warm, and I made sure that my hair wasn't wet as well. That was another
big great. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So the first 2 weeks of my first 40 days was beautiful. We stayed at home most of the time. And again, we had limited visitors. We made sure that we just had one group coming daily. That was amazing. A beautiful patient had actually given me a voucher to the dinner ladies, which was incredible. I found that so helpful, especially when my husband went back to work. So that was great. Other than that, we had a lot of support around us. So a lot of people brought us meals. And then from there, we really didn't leave the house that often. There was a few very slow walks, although from my recovery from birth, I couldn't really walk that far. I was actually quite surprised at that heaviness through the pelvic floor that I could feel. So that wasn't really something that was motivating me to walk very often. And I knew from the advice that my women's health physio had given me is to rest as much as possible. I found the FRC leggings were unbelievable for that.
Oh, so good.
So good. And I wore them every day. I really wanted to breastfeed. So our breastfeeding journey began really well. So I was so thankful for that. And another little hot tip is the silverettes are the most amazing tool for your breasts.
Yes, you loved the silverettes. Yeah.
I love them. I love
them. So are they, they're good for cracked nipples?
Cracked nipples, yeah. So I made sure to prevent cracked nipples that I wore them from the day Harriet was born. And I would just squeeze a little bit of colostrum before my milk came in and sit that on my nipples in between feeds. Yeah. And then when the milk came in, I just have a little bit of milk in there too. So that really helped my nipples. And then from there, 2 weeks in, our newborn bubble burst. We had a unexpected diagnosis for Harriet that then brought her to having a life-threatening condition. So that required immediate intervention. So we were then spending the next 2 weeks at Westmead Sydney Children's Hospital. And the reason why I really want to share this story is as a new mum, I was really desperately looking for support of what that kind of looked like as a new mum in a situation where I had an unwell newborn, and I really struggled to find any real tips to get through that period, because I guess, you know, we, especially Georgia, had learned, you know, the new mother has to be honored and the time is there to rest and for yin, and we see that as this really crucial stage. And for me, it was like, okay, well, the first 40 days is the last thing that I'm thinking about at the moment.
It was 100%.
It was the last priority on my list, and my body, you know, it was only 2 weeks in. So I was healing, but at the same time, I really wasn't even considering myself because all of our focus was on our daughter. And
which is completely understandable.
Oh, of course. You know? Yeah, of course. But I think it's important that we need to pass on the message that if your first 40 days isn't what you expect, that there is a period of time to heal afterwards, and it's really important that you take that space to heal. So while we were in Westmead, I just wanted to take a moment to say how incredible the Australian public healthcare system is. And for any mothers that are in that boat and with their birth partners and so parents, you are in the best hands possible. And to be in Australia with an unwell newborn is the biggest gift that you can be given. The pediatricians and the nurses and the surgeons there are unbelievable. And, you know, for doctors that I've met throughout my career and personally, they are at the very top. They are unbelievable. Yeah. So, yeah. So I think from a first 40 days perspective, it's really important to look after yourself in a way that you can. So for me, that was minimal, to be honest, but I made sure God love my mum, she made more of the chicken soup. So we thought, okay, what can we do? So we made more of the chicken soup. And from a breastfeeding perspective, unfortunately, I wasn't able to breastfeed Harriet for a period of time. So my milk supply was obviously very compromised. So having a lactation consultant, which the lactation consultants are at Sydney Children's Hospitals, and I'm sure they're at the children's hospitals throughout Australia, and for our listeners overseas as well, is reach out and ask for a lactation consultant, because I needed to learn how to pump while I was still establishing how to breastfeed. So that was itself that, you know, I was still trying to learn how to navigate breastfeeding, let alone how to use a pump. So, so that was,
'cause that's a whole nother thing. Like, the breastfeeding is one thing, but then the pump is like a whole nother
thing. A whole other thing. And learning about your flange size and trying to find time to do that on top of then looking after your baby was a lot. But again, I think there's all these things that you can do and the support is there. But on top of that, I did find that the Chinese herbal medicine soup really helped with my milk supply in a time.
Yeah, amazing.
Because I had a lot of factors working against me from a breastfeeding perspective, but I found that worked really well. Then God love my mum again. She made the milk lactation cookies. And so I just ate those every day for 2 weeks. And my mum was just like, I can never make that recipe again, because it's just my husband was having it, my mum would have it, when our friends visited the hospital, they'd have a bit. So it's great. It's actually delicious, but again, probably not.
Yeah, I bet they're delicious, because don't they have oats in them?
They have oats in them. They have dark chocolate. Like, they're unbelievable. Oh, so good. So whether they're a placebo or not, they're amazing.
Good for the soul.
So that was helpful. I found listening to Sarah Blondin was great.
Yeah.
And just getting out, like having a break from the hospital when you can is really helpful. So, there's obviously periods where you can't leave or you don't want to leave. And like, I didn't really ever want to leave, but my husband would just say, look, go and take a quick break. And just to go and do some earthing outside the hospital works really well. And just like listening, to say, for example, Sarah Blondin or Beautiful Chorus, and just having 2 or 3 minutes to yourself can work quite well. From there, we were definitely one of the lucky ones because we got to bring home a recovered, healthy baby girl.
Yeah.
I think it's really important that we just take a moment about maternal mental health in that type of situation. So,
definitely.
You're in that fight or flight. And again, you don't need that added pressure that, oh, I'm not doing the first 40 days correctly. So, like, I remember I remember one evening I was laughing to my husband in the ward, and I was just like, we were eating pizza, and I was just like, how good is the first 40 days? Like, what's he going? Like, this is textbook. And I was thinking about everything that you learn, like about oxytocin release, and like make sure the environment is really yin and make sure everything's so calm. And I was like, oh my gosh, is this going to affect my future fertility and menstrual health and menopause? And you know, you take a moment and you know, get a bigger perspective of your body has time to heal.
Absolutely. And you were in the right place. When you were there, you were in the right place.
Yes, exactly.
And also, you can't underestimate how the way that your body responds to being able to be supported. You know, 100%. Your husband was there and your mum was there and your friends were there and you were allowing them to support you and bring you food and letting you have that time to have a moment to listen to Sarah. And that's huge. Like, huge. That's a lot more than a lot of other women will let themselves do, you know?
100%. So I think like the biggest message that I can pass on, or like my pearl of wisdom would be is to allow people to help you and to have the support when you can. Like, we were very lucky. We live in Sydney, so our friends and our family were able to visit us. But for the women and for the parents who don't have that opportunity, just making sure that you are held accountable to have space to process what's happened in that period of time at some point along your postpartum journey, because I think it's very easy to not want to dip a toe back into that or to sit back into it mentally and to you want to just move on. But I think it's really important that that event in your family's life is given the time that it deserves to process that. And whether that be with a psychologist or whether that be with one of the incredible foundations and support services we have in Australia, which we'll include in the show notes, but Gidget Foundation, you've got Panda and you've got Cope. So there's many different foundations that can support you there.
Yeah. And so, Liz, for women that don't have access to a psychologist, are these foundations, are they free or do you have to have a membership or?
Yeah. So they're free. They're free. And then, they're free. So I just think it's really important that if you are feeling low at a time where you are already very vulnerable in your first 40 days, and then if you do have a significant life event that occurs, and whether that be something else that happens, but if something happens that was unexpected throughout that period, I think it's really important that you do check in with your mental health and make sure that you continue to check in throughout your postpartum journey. Because from my own experience, when you're looking after an unwell newborn, you're not thinking about yourself. And it's not until everything, and again, we were very lucky that things were okay, that you then have the space for your central nervous system to go, hang on, what just happened? So I think at a time where, you know, with a newborn turns into a baby and milestone after milestone then happens and all the beautiful things occur, I think it's important, though, that you really do take that time at some point to process that previous time that you had in the first 40 days.
And I think that's great advice because so often we deflect, right? You know, there'll be a huge life event and then we don't want to work through it or deal with it. It's like, push it aside. Definitely. But I think it comes from a really powerful place to be able to sit in it and work through it at a time where you're a new mom. So you're working through it and then you're sort of dealing with all the new challenges and whirlwind of motherhood as well. Yeah,
That's it. And I think it's easy to kind of sweep it under the rug because I think it's one of those things where you can go, oh, well, like, you know, I'm focusing on my baby and all the different stages and like, oh yeah, I'm a new mom as well. So, you know, there's all different changes occurring. So yeah, I think that's probably one of the biggest things from my own experience that I can share and I hope helps other women as well and parents as well.
And thank you for sharing that. That's a big thing to share too. Oh,
of course. I think like I remember being in it and I remember just thinking it not right now it was the time to share anything, but I knew at some point that I would want to be able to help other women and early mothers and parents at a time where you're very vulnerable and it just made me realize, like, with the first 40 days, it's an amazing concept, but I think we need to look at the bigger picture of postpartum as well, and that it's like if your first 40 days doesn't go very well, it's okay.
Yes, it's not the be all and
end. It's not the be all and end all. You've got plenty of time to heal. So and then we were able to jump back into our newborn bubble, which was just like the most precious time in the world so sacred. But I just wanted to finish my story on the first swim. After having this,
you're a big swimmer.
So Harriet was born in autumn, so like there was still a lot of potential for swimming. But I knew I had to wait my first 40 days. I had my OB checkup at 6 weeks postpartum, and then I had my women's health physio checkup at 6 weeks postpartum. And I knew, hang on, I still had to wait my first 40 days. And I remember being down at the beach and I was with one of my girlfriends and I did take my Cozzies because I was like, okay, I'm the first 40 days plus like one day, like I could go for a swim if I get a moment. And so I said to my girlfriend, I was just like, would you mind looking after Harriet? I'm really like, this is my moment for the first swim. And like, even that was just so cleansing to have that moment was unbelievable. So
there's nothing like an ocean swim. Hey,
nothing like it. So
So and you then, went for your ocean swim
and then just kept doing that the whole winter, which was just like amazing. So
beautiful
is my story. And I haven't really touched on the acupuncture side of things, but I can do that a bit later. So Georgia,
how was your first the reality of my first 40 days. So we moved interstate during my second trimester.
Yes.
So
what a change.
My husband got a job. Yeah, my husband got a job down here in Melbourne. So when I was 20 weeks, we changed our care. So we were up in the public hospital in Sydney in the MGP program. And then at 20 weeks, we moved down to Melbourne. So because we know the MGP program is super competitive, we were unable to get into that system, which is fine because the public system, the public hospital we were in were incredible. I had a beautiful student midwife who followed me through my care. So that was a really great experience. So very different to the private hospital. So I birthed Remy at 8:59 or something on the Friday night.
Yeah.
I stayed over that night. My husband had to go home.
Okay.
He wasn't allowed to stay.
Yeah.
And then the next day we actually left and went home. So we just had one night in the hospital.
Okay.
We'll go into, I think we'll talk about our birth stories maybe in another episode.
Yeah, I think so, for sure. There's a lot to unpack there, I think.
A lot to unpack. My birth didn't go the way that I thought it was going to. I did have a vaginal birth, but it was a marathon to get there, to say the least.
You got there.
But I got there.
Yeah. You got there.
So Remy was born, she was 3.7 kilos. So she wasn't huge. She was like middle of the range, big head, 93rd percentile in head.
Yeah.
but still, I was advised to rest as much as possible, lie horizontal, as much as possible and recover, as much as I can, doing not a lot. So we came home, and then within that 48-hour period, the midwives from the hospital actually come and visit you.
That's amazing.
So she came. Yeah, it was. They were unbelievable. So they came home to the house. They checked me, checked Remy. Really built our confidence up. Like, yeah, you've got this.
Because you had so many questions as a new time mum and new time parents.
Oh my gosh. So I was the same. I really wanted to breastfeed. And Remy and I had a really strong start with breastfeeding, which was great. And that's continued, all the way through. So yeah, I guess leaving the hospital so soon, after giving birth and being at home, I was kind of in a position that I was like, am I doing this right?
Yeah, of course.
Like,
of course.
Is this what breastfeeding is? So it was really reassuring when the midwives would come and they would show me different positions and say, yep, you're doing it fine. She's putting on weight. She's having wet and dirty nappies, all is good. So the midwives came, that time they came 3 days post-birth, and then the maternal and child health nurse comes after a week.
Okay.
And they all do assessments of me and Remy.
Mm-hmm.
So during that time, I guess my husband and I, we were just at home resting. In terms of visitors, so like I said before, both our parents live interstate. So Remy was born. We messaged both our parents, and my beautiful mother flew down the next day.
Surprised you didn't fly down on the day.
I know.
That's great. Yeah, of course.
Bless her. So she came to the hospital, which was beautiful.
Oh, so lovely.
It was so, so nice that she could come. And she stayed at a hotel close by.
Amazing.
But she was like, we had chatted about what the fourth trimester was, and she was really pushing that our new family of three needed time for just the three of us.
Amazing.
You know, she didn't want to interfere in that, and she didn't want to step on anyone's toes, which she never would have, but she was creating those healthy boundaries without even having to have that conversation, which was really nice.
Yeah.
So for the first pretty much 10 days, it was just me, my husband and Remy, and we're in our little bubble. I started taking the Chinese herbal soup from when I was in hospital, and I had that for 10 days, which, like we said before, it was just so nurturing. Like even there were days where, well, when Bailey was at home, so my husband, he was cooking so much. We were eating so well. But because he just started a new job, he only had 2 weeks off.
Yeah, that was the same. Yeah, same as us, which like 2 weeks is nothing.
It is nothing. So then he goes back to work and I'm at home and I'm like, I haven't eaten. Like, I haven't eaten all day because you know what it's like with a newborn? They don't want to be put down. And then it's a bit of a whirlwind. And then when you do put them down, I'm like, well, I need to do a load of washing. So the one thing I did have was I prioritized that Chinese soup.
Yes.
Because it was the one thing that I could easily heat up. And I thought, if I've got that in my belly, then I'm going to be okay.
Yes, definitely.
So that was amazing. And then I guess from there, so with exercise side of things, I had planned to do not a lot. But then I guess I just felt like I needed to have something in my day, like something to do in my day. So I wasn't at home by myself because everyone's interstate. So Remy and I would go for a little walk around the block, and then that walk got a little bit longer and a little bit longer. And then I was doing 5 kilometer walks every day.
Just kidding.
Literally. But it's one of these things that I was like, I know from a fourth trimester perspective, I shouldn't be doing this, but it just was making me feel so good.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I was going to say it creates structure in your day.
And that's it. It was the one structure thing that I did it. I would jump my husband at the tram. I would go for a walk and then I would be like, okay, well, I'll just go and sit on the couch for the rest of the day and that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. I think like for two people who love to be organized, Georgia, you and I need some form of structure and, you know, and it is like a little win, I think, where you can say, okay, well, we've done that today. So
I've done the work. I did the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And you surrender as much as you can and, you know, in that time, but if you've got a personality where you like to do things.
Yeah. And I think we're very similar. So I didn't do any formal exercise though for those first 6 weeks. And then I had a checkup with my women's health physio and she assessed me and gave me a return to exercise plan. So what that looked like was postnatal Pilates for a month.
Beautiful.
And then I could go back to regular Pilates and then also a running plan, which I haven't done.
And that's completely okay.
And I don't think I'm going to do it.
Like, do you feel like running?
No. So I know we'll chat about this later, but postpartum, you know, before, you know, I was pregnant, I was running. You were running. You know, we were running.
Yeah, I loved running.
But
yeah.
Loved it. But now I have no desire to go back to it. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I don't have that fire in me to go for a run, if that makes sense. Not that I am able to, which we'll discuss a little bit later, but yes, there's no part of me that desires to do high intensity interval training. And that's also something that I have no hunger to do at the moment.
I'm the same. I am not interested in it whatsoever. Yes. So coming back, I do Pilates. Yeah, it might
be a season that comes back when we're out of sleep deprivation, but I don't
know. That's it. Maybe that's what it comes down to, the sleep deprivation side of things.
Yeah, but I think running is definitely in a season of winter for us.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
Ongoing for a long period of time.
Yeah.
We will be back in a minute for more integrating Chinese medicine after this short break.
HQ Intelligent Health has created a range of high-quality blends using traditional Chinese medicine and evidence-based nutrition to help women thrive through every stage of motherhood, from pregnancy and postpartum to breastfeeding and the ongoing demands of motherhood.
HQ Intelligent Health was co-founded by Georgina, an Australian doctor of Chinese medicine, and business mama friend Anita. It was born from Georgina's own challenges postpartum, as well as the deep realization that women need quality nourishment and support in this major life transition.
HQ Health uses 100% natural, certified organic ingredients where possible, with no fillers or synthetics. The organic traditional Chinese herbs and superfoods used in the blends are hand-picked to support nutritional and well-being needs in each stage of motherhood. For energy, sleep, hormones, mood, immunity, mental performance, nutrients, and to support milk supply. HQ Health supplements also support the changes which occur to the new mother's body, including to promote healthy hair, skin, joints, and gut health.
As an exclusive offer to ICM listeners, HQ Intelligent Health is giving you 10% off your first order. Head to our show notes for the link or HQ Health's website and use the offer code ICM10. You can choose from pregnancy vitality, post-birth vitality, breastfeeding vitality, daily vitality, and motherhood glow collagen to support you and your changing body. You can also find the range at selected traditional Chinese medicine and other healthcare practitioners, as well as select stores. Visit hqhealth.com.au and use ICM10 for 10% off your first order.
When was your first swim?
Well, Remy was born in July in Melbourne.
In the depths of winter. In Melbourne, yes. Very cold.
In Melbourne. So I think my first swim, it would have been, I think it was the because you know in Melbourne we have a public holiday for the Melbourne Cup. Which yes. is in November.
Yes. Yeah, the start of November.
Start of November. So we went down to Mornington and that was my first swim.
Oh, was that beautiful? Getting back into the ocean.
It was beautiful. It was freezing in November. Yeah. Freezing. Yes. But okay. Beautiful to get back in the water. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. 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 It was so, and since then we've gone down to Mornington a couple of times for swims and it's just so beautiful and fresh and clean. It's lovely.
That's so nice.
Different to Sydney beaches, but still nice. Still nice.
Still beautiful. Yeah. Just a bit colder. Yeah. Yeah. Imagine.
Just a bit colder and it's a bay. So no waves.
No waves. You can't surf.
Can't surf. But other than that, in terms of my recovery, in terms of support,
How did that look for you?
Yeah, a little bit different to what I anticipated when we fell pregnant. Mm. But we had the midwives, which were amazing. I really connected with my maternal and child health nurse. So she was super supportive. So I was checking in with her every couple of weeks for the first few months.
Amazing. So you have her guidance.
Oh, my gosh. And every time I would go and see her and chat about things, she just really reassured me that I was doing okay and that I was doing the right thing.
And how
so important? It was, yeah.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, how important are the words, you're doing a great job?
Huge.
Incredible. Like that's all, like a lot of the time when I'd go and see the family nurse, just hearing you were doing a really good job. Just the first time, you're looking after this baby and just to hear those words just made such a difference to build confidence.
And it would really change my view on the week. Like I'd be like, okay, I've got this.
Yeah. Like,
doing the right thing.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I make sure now in postpartum appointments that I actually emphasize that a lot more.
Yes.
Of just the language and encouraging women now of just like, cause it used to be like, well, they're obviously like, they're doing a great job, but I think it's just so important to say that, especially through that first 40 days and really like the first few months of postpartum. I think.
And even like the first year.
Oh, 100%. The first decade.
Literally.
No, but literally the first
because
decade.
Everything's so different and everything's changing all the time.
Yeah, so different. And you get into the swing of things and then things change again.
Oh, my gosh. You're telling me.
Yeah. Okay. So.
And then the last thing, I wanted to also chat about how important it is to have a really great doctor. Yes. So I had a great doctor in Sydney, and then coming down to Melbourne, I didn't have anyone. So I found this lady who has been so thorough and amazing. Super supportive. So for listeners, you know that, pardon?
A GP.
A GP, yes.
Yes,
a GP.
Okay.
Sorry. Yep. Yeah, so for listeners that have moved interstate or aren't close to family, I don't think you can underestimate how great a good GP is.
Mm. Yeah, for sure. What about, yeah. Jordan, for you, like mother's group side of things?
So I was connected with a parent group.
Okay.
And I didn't connect with the people in my parent group the way that I thought that I would.
Yeah.
So I have some great new mum friends down here that I met through Pilates and met through friends of friends that haven't been through my parent group. So they have been incredible.
Amazing.
But, yeah, from a parent group side of things, I didn't really connect with anybody. Did you have a parent group?
I did, but it was in a period where we'd just come out of hospital and I just wasn't in the right headspace to meet new people. So I was so excited about Mother's Group because I'd heard so many great stories. I wasn't in the right headspace for it. So maybe I'll try maybe again at some point. But again, the same as you, I've organically met people and parents and others through Pilates and through the gym. And then also I live in an area where I've lived for a long period of time. So a lot of my friends are in the same season of motherhood as well. So I've been really fortunate with that.
So lucky.
Oh, it's been beautiful. It's something that I really truly treasure to be able to raise our children together because I know that that's quite rare. So I think from that perspective, I'm so excited about it. And I remember I was listening to our previous episode about Mother's Group being like so enthusiastic. And it wasn't something that really I probably didn't even really give enough effort to be honest. But but I know for some people that it's so helpful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Liz, should we talk about our tips to prepare for the first 40 days? And with our experience, what realistically those tips are?
So realistically, I think from what we've spoken about and what we've shared, I think we can both agree the chicken Chinese herbal medicine soup.
I can't advocate enough for that.
If you're veggie or vegan, make it with tofu or make it with chickpeas.
Do you think you can make it with mushrooms if you're vegan?
Yeah, for sure. And then if you could use like an algae broth. Like with veggies, just so you're really building that blood. And maybe even like, I don't know how this would taste, but like get those blood tonifying foods in there. So like sprinkle it with black sesame seeds. Because like I also, that was another thing. I also found the period porridge was amazing postpartum. Because I couldn't even look at that when I was pregnant.
Yeah, me neither. And I couldn't look at it postpartum. I was eating so many eggs postpartum.
Oh, so good. So good. Yes.
Like obsessed with scrambled eggs.
And easy, I guess, too.
Yeah, easy, nourishing.
Nourishing, yeah, great.
Chicken
herbal soup. For me, acupuncture was amazing. I obviously have access to acupuncture and I'd already built a relationship with the practitioners that I work with and see. But I do think from a postpartum perspective, acupuncture not only helped my mental health, but also helped from breast milk supply side of things. And I remember like, the 7 days postpartum was the first time I'd been away from Harriet. So it was actually this first moment of realization of the magnitude of what had just happened over the last 9 months and with birth and just giving that respect and time to my body of, oh my goodness, body, you are incredible. What you have just done.
Oh my God, I have so much more respect for my body.
Oh my goodness. Like Yeah. So I'll never forget that moment, just laying on the bed, and mother warming felt incredible. Like, you know, you and I have had so much moxa in our life, especially on our abdomen. But to actually experience mother warming and to experience a postpartum treatment, my emphasis and recommendation on that is now as much as how I recommend labor preparation, because I think it's that important.
And I have a question for you. So from my experience, I did my acupuncture mother warming at home. Mm. But do you know how in consultation we say to women, bring baby along?
Oh, yes.
It's bring baby along to a treatment, because obviously babies and children are always more than welcome. Mm. From your experience, if a mother can leave the new baby with a support person or a friend or a family member, do you think that the treatment is better, I guess, for lack of a better term? Do you think it's better for you to come out as by yourself and have that treatment? Or do you think that having the baby there, the treatment would be just as good? What do you think?
Great question. I think it would depend, like it depend on a number of factors. Number one would be, are you breastfeeding or are you bottle feeding? If you're breastfeeding, I found, and now this is what I recommend even more with new mothers, is have the baby in the room. It's also so nice to introduce your baby, like especially like at the Dow for me, it was the first time that the team got to meet Harriet, so it was unbelievable. But
showing her off,
it was so special. But it was also, I know how that feels for patients as well, to bring in their babies when we've been supporting them right throughout preconception through to postpartum or wherever that we meet them in the journey. But I found,
and also we want to see them too.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I love meeting babies.
Yes, the best thing in the world, newborn cuddles. But I think for my peace of mind, I could breastfeed Harriet, and I knew I could, like, through consult, and then I knew I had 25 minutes, right? On the bed. So the confidence wise, also Pat and I hadn't had a period of time like with Harriet alone yet, so like it had been the three of us the whole time, right? Like, remember, you're just like a unit, like moving everywhere together, like a car. It's a big deal just even having a car trip, so like having a car trip.
Oh my god.
And I think, like, logistically, that was the first appointment we had that we had to be somewhere on time. So it was a huge deal. So,
oh my God,
it's all of that. Yeah, it comes back, right? And so I think for us, it worked better for me to know that I'd breastfed Harriet. I knew that my husband was outside in the waiting room chatting to the team. And then I knew if Harriet was going to cry, because I think Pat went down to the cafe downstairs and he was able to come up if Harriet was unsettled. So I think that peace of mind is like, I knew that she was in arm's length, or not really arm's length, but she was in the perimeter, that if she really needed me, I was there. So I think for my mind, it worked better. But I know for some mothers, they find that they're in a really good routine already, and they may not be breastfeeding too. So they know that the baby's got a bottle of formula, they're ready to go, and their partner will be able to support the baby for that period of time. So, yes, but I guess
each circumstance is different.
Yes, but if you are breastfeeding, just feed them throughout the consult, so then they're happy.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, they're happy, and then you've got, like, really in the scheme of things, 25 to minutes to half an hour. Like, you've got that time, really, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, I guess when the baby's so new as well, and they're cluster feeding and
exactly.
All the things.
I found the SRC shorts, the silverette's amazing. And then I found, the black sesame seeds, great. HQ Health was the other one.
HQ Health. Okay.
We'll
put a link in the show notes.
Their breastfeeding and postpartum support was amazing for smoothies and room temperature. Just to clarify, room temperature. I found their supplements were really good, in addition to, again, we've spoken about it, but just supplements. They're probably
amazing.
Oh, and a large drink bottle, because throughout my breastfeeding.
So much water. I reckon I'm drinking 4 liters of water a day.
And it's ridiculous, right? It's ridiculous.
What about the Perry bottle?
Oh, amazing.
Game changer.
Absolute game changer. I remember saying to my OB, being like, how good is the Perry bottle? And he was like, that's okay. Like, I guess so. But I was like, you need to recommend the Peri bottle to everyone.
Honestly, when I was buying it, I was like, do I really need to buy this? I cannot recommend it enough. Get the Peri bottle.
Get the Peri bottle. Oh, and the postpartum, like the underwear ones, the nappies. Oh,
yes. Is that what you postpartum nappies. 100%.
100%. They were incredible. I found the Noonies really good too, which are the ones that on the first few days postpartum, the cool pads.
Oh, yes, the cool pads. Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, I found they were great. And then
yes.
No, you go.
Well, I was going to say, don't underestimate how good it feels to sit in the sun for 10 minutes.
Yes, that's a good one.
It just breaks up the day. It's a nervous system resetter.
Yes.
You don't even have to walk far. Just go sit in your backyard or front yard outside.
Yeah, for sure. And another one, in reality, like to lay down and listen to a full meditation potentially doesn't happen. But I found then, and I've continued to do so with breastfeeding Harriet, is the first breastfeed of the day, I put Sarah Blondin on in the background. And it's like we're meditating together.
That is such a great tip.
Well, yeah, because then like it's a really beautiful moment together. We're starting the day in a really nice way. And then I don't know how much of it Harriet's absorbing, but who knows? She potentially could be absorbing a bit of
energy. But she'd be absorbing things. Your energy because you're calm.
Yeah. And I just find that's really nice. Yeah. And I find that's a way to get my meditation in because I just wasn't able to get it in. So I'm finding that.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I haven't meditated since Remy was born because I couldn't find the time.
Yeah. And there's, and I'd always be looking for like that moment, but it just wasn't ever coming. So I just thought, you know what? Let's meditate together, Harriet.
I'm going to start doing that. Definitely.
Yeah. It's a nice little activity. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
The other thing quickly is snacks. Always have snacks on hand at home.
Yeah.
Even if you don't have time to prep a meal,
yes,
definitely 100%. Have those snacks.
Have snacks. And
we also started getting our food shopping delivered, which was amazing.
Game changer. Yeah. And, I just can't recommend the dinner ladies more.
Us the dinner ladies. It was unbelievable. I loved it. It was amazing.
Nourishing meal.
Delicious.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I definitely like for anyone who is looking for a gift for someone either for a baby shower or for a postpartum gift, like give food. It is the best gift that you can ever give.
And that's another thing from experience going through this postpartum period. I appreciated, us as a family appreciated food so much. Which I didn't even think of before.
Yes, yeah, I know. Because I always thought I usually did give food to our friends who had kids. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll give them some food. But I didn't actually understand how, I knew it was a thing to do. I was just like, give food. But then I remember having a discussion with one of our team members at the DAO and they were like, oh, yeah, have you heard of the food trays? I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a great idea too. But I probably didn't emphasize it enough. After postpartum, but I was really proud of myself after our second hospital visit. When people asked, how can we help? I actually said, please bring food. And it was amazing because to have that was one last thing. Like it was one thing I didn't need to think about when we got home.
And it would have been good quality home cooked food.
Beautiful, loved meal. Yeah. Loving meals. Yeah. I think that's the biggest one. And that food deliveries or like nappy deliveries, game changer.
Oh yes. It's so worth it.
So worth it.
So rather worth than,
like,
it.
Trying to hold the pram, a box of nappies, like no.
I know.
No, it's so much
do
easier.
Anything to make your life easier. Have to do it anymore.
Yes, yep. If you are able to, to organize the delivery or ask someone to drop the food over because people want to help. I think that's a big thing. People want to help.
And that's the thing. When people offer help, let them.
Let them. Yeah, let them. Yeah. I really let them because there's a period of time where that help will be there and you will have hopefully like with your support team, you will. But I think it's that whole thing, you know how they say like it takes a tribe to raise a child?
Yes.
I actually I like agree with that. Yes. But like, it's more like it takes a tribe to support the parents.
Definitely. Yeah.
Like in
Let's
whatever
change
way,
that saying.
Yeah. Like whatever way that looks for you, whether it be allied healthcare, whether it be medical care, whether it be family, friends, whatever it looks like, but you need to have a team around you to help you.
Definitely. Yes. Definitely.
So where we're at now.
So, yes, Liz.
Yes.
Let's talk about that. Where we're at now.
I think I
11
jumped,
months?
I jumped ahead. I jumped ahead. How to realistically plan for the first 40 days. Sorry.
That's okay.
Jump the gun.
Let's talk about how to realistically
plan.
Okay.
Hot tip, choose two or three things, I think.
Yeah.
That would be my hot tip.
Yeah.
In the first 40 days, two or three things that you would like to implement. Talk to your birth partner. Talk to your support people on how you are going to make that work. So
what is some of our advice? So we've spoken about making it an acupuncture appointment for postpartum support.
Yes, and have a chat about what date that is. Have it in both of your diaries. It is a major event that you're going to be getting out of the house to an appointment. It is usually your first appointment that you'll be going to, especially because if the midwife is visiting you at home. So that's something that if that's really like a non-negotiable for you that you'd really like to get to that, then get your support team to help you to get there and how it's going to look. And then from there, mother warming is a treatment that we use moxibustion, and it is focused on supporting the recovery of the mother. We go into this a little bit further in the first episode, so I won't dive into it too much, but you need to know how to use the Moxa stick. So whether you're going to go and talk to a Chinese medicine practitioner about that, if you're going to have labor preparation acupuncture, have a chat to them about it there, rather than having this Moxa stick and thinking, how do I use this? It just gets
too hard basket. And I guess like realistically from experience, I think that is something that women have to keep in mind, that maybe going to your acupuncture appointment and having mother warming done, realistically, that's the way it's going to be done.
I think so, because I think, didn't do it at home.
No, I did an acupuncture treatment and did a little bit only because I couldn't get to an acupuncture appointment. But if I didn't have to, then I wouldn't have done it.
How did you make that work? Did Bailey take Remy on a walk?
So my parents. So I did it when my parents were down. So was about 10 days after Remy was born. And then they had Remy downstairs and then I was just upstairs and I just needed some points.
And did it feel good?
Look, I mean, it felt good, but I think it would have felt better if I had a treatment done. It's like, you know, when you do acupuncture on yourself, and then I was kind of lying there and then I was like, oh, I need to be relaxing. But then I was a bit distracted.
Yes.
And I was in my home environment and I think my central nervous system was still like, oh my God, I'm a new mother. So this is the kind of relaxing experience that I
was hoping for,
kind of wanted.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I did it.
And you made time for it, which is amazing, because Moxa at home, you know, is a process as well. So the fact that you made it work is great.
Yeah. The other thing that I do recommend as well is prioritizing Chinese dietary therapy.
Yes, 100%. And it's so easy.
So easy. Oh my gosh. Those warm foods.
Yes. So warming foods, if you haven't heard about it before, 80% cooked, 20% raw. Look at your plate. If you want to have a little bit of crunchy salad, just make sure it's only about 20% and make sure the rest is nice and warm. If you do eat red meat, this would be a really good time to emphasize nourishing the blood. And a really good way to do that is through eating red meat for some iron.
And that's really important post-birth anyway, with the loss of blood, to be increasing red meat intake and having slow cooked meals as well. And having cooking those slow cooked meals means that you're cooking in bulk. So then you've got leftovers as well.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. And that should be ideally if you can do it prior to birth. So
Yeah. And then with that, avoiding cold drinks too.
Cold drinks. I suggest if you can avoid coffee from a central nervous system perspective, but to be fair, I wasn't drinking coffee before that. So that is something, though, if you're at a central nervous system side of things of being like, oh, I'm really kind of getting into that fight or flight or I'm feeling overwhelmed, then I would recommend avoiding coffee and going for something like a masala chai. But if you are a coffee drinker and that's, again, if that's like your structure that you're like, oh, I really liked that walk for going for a coffee, make sure it's not on an empty stomach and don't go for an iced coffee or an iced latte.
Yeah.
Try and go for something and more. Avoid ice drinks.
And that was the thing, I guess, because I am a coffee drinker, as you know.
Yeah.
So going for my morning walk and getting a coffee was something that made me feel really good for the day.
Yeah, exactly. So each day.
You know, so I just had my one small coffee and then obviously after breakfast.
Mm.
And then it really set me up for the day. And then I was like, okay, now felt great. It was part of a routine.
Beautiful. Yeah, beautiful.
And so I think for women that are like, well, I am a coffee drinker, I feel like I still need it, look at the way that you're drinking coffee. So like you spoke about having it on a full stomach, don't have a large one, don't have a milky one. So then you still have a little bit of enjoyment of something.
Yeah,
and then if your central nervous system is completely heightened and you're feeling really anxious and stressed, then maybe that's time to think about, hang on,
pull back.
Maybe coffee isn't for me.
Yeah, definitely. Another one as well is keep your feet warm. So just make sure you keep some socks on. Like I remember I just did socks and Crocs. It was a great look. I had
cute.
That great. And I just did that for, pretty much the first 40 days. If I didn't have sneakers on, I found that that just worked. I always had the socks on and that. It makes a big difference. It's from a kidney meridian side of things in Chinese medicine, and no wet hair as well. Try and keep your hair dry. And look, if you have greasy hair, just chuck a hat on. It's an easy way to kind of rectify that situation.
100%. And also remembering to take your supplements. So if, I think we've spoken a little bit about that before. So
yes,
that's pretty understandable.
And just wait, even though when you get your clearance at 6 weeks to go for a swim, just wait if you can the first 40 days, the full 40 days, because we talk about exposure to cold in birth, whether that be C-section or whether that be a vaginal birth. And our focus for the first 40 days is really warming the body. So we don't want too much exposure to cold. So I think that's a really important one, is making sure you're just putting off that first swim until the first 40 days is over, and it is worth it.
And I think as a take-home message, if some of the advice seems too overwhelming, if we can make it concise, that women need to think about just warming and nourishing the body.
Yeah, to keep it simple.
Warm foods, warm body, warm drinks, so we can begin to nurture and nourish the reproductive organs and nourish the blood and calm the central nervous system.
Yeah, pull it back. Yeah. And what can you do? What can you do to keep your central nervous system calm? That element. Yeah.
So if we come down to our postpartum journey now, little Harriet's 11 months old.
She is. She's almost one.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Has it flown?
It has flown, but at the same time, it feels like she's been here forever. I can't imagine life without Harriet now. So, she's the greatest little joy in our lives. And, yes, the fact that she's almost one, it actually, like, interestingly, I didn't know how I would feel with her coming up to the one-year milestone. But rather than a sadness of, like, oh, my, like, where's my baby gone, it's actually just so exciting to see where she goes next. Like, because every week she has a new trick, and just to be her mother has been the greatest honor of my life. And I'm just so excited.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Yeah, I'm just so excited to see where life takes her in this next year. So,
yeah.
So So 11 months postpartum. So where is my body at and what have I learned? So I guess one of my girlfriends who she had her second baby just before Harriet, and really early days, she's like, we were talking about the process of motherhood and how when the baby is born, the mother is too. And I was a little bit like, oh yes, I always thought that, but like, I'm kind of like questioning that now. Like I don't really feel like myself as a mother was just like born. I feel like it's been a process to learn to be a mother. And like obviously that motherly instinct is there, but at the same time, I don't think that the whole process of like you are born as a mother actually occurs. I think it is more of that process of matrescence. And once I heard that term, I was like, oh, I really feel aligned to that. So what the process of matrescence is it's the physical, emotional, hormonal, and social transition to becoming a mother, which I think there's
I
was just going to say, I think there is so many pearls of wisdom in there, because I just think it is a process of becoming a mother. Like hormonally, there's so many changes. Physically, there's so many changes. There's social changes. And for you and I, who've both navigated going back to work earlier, like there's so many different things that you learn through matrescence. And now that I'm coming up to that 1 year almost of postpartum, I look back to the woman I was when I was pregnant and to early first 40 days. I'm like, wow, it is a process of how you grow as a mother. And I know that I will continue to grow as a mother, but I think this process of matrescence almost takes the pressure off. And I think, because I remember like 4 to 5 months postpartum, I was like, when am I going to feel like myself again? Like when?
Yeah, really?
Time, when am I going to be like, so to speak, back? And then I realized, I was like, oh, I'm never going to go back. I'm going through. If that makes
sense. And then you're also, it makes complete sense. And you're not, when Harriet was born, you weren't going to be a completely different person straight away.
No, it's the
process of the change.
It's the process.
And then also, because we're breastfeeding and our hormones are fluctuating and changing, once you start to wean, whenever that may be, then that will continue to change, right?
Yeah, that's it. And like for me, like I even just sitting like preparing for today, I was just like, oh, like what an incredible achievement to get to where Harriet and I are at today. We had many obstacles around that really early time. So the fact that we're still breastfeeding, and I'm so thankful for that. But I also think it's a really big achievement because it's also been a lot of effort, right? Like breastfeeding isn't something that comes naturally to everyone. And I think it's something where, and even if it does come to you quite naturally, it's still a huge commitment. So with like I always said, oh look, I would really like to get Harriet to 1 year and then I would plan to wean. So like for me, I got my period back 5 weeks postpartum, which is just wild.
Yes.
And so like from a Chinese medicine perspective, this is really interesting, because when you have a period, obviously you're losing blood, but breast milk in Chinese medicine is also blood. So
it's a form of blood. Yeah.
So you're giving and giving. So throughout those periods of time where I'm menstruating and I'm breastfeeding, it's a lot. It's a lot of giving.
Because you're losing like two forms of blood from a Chinese medicine perspective. So it's exhausted. It would be exhausting.
It is. And so I wondered, you know, would I feel emotionally ready coming up to that 1 year, but to wean? But I can say it now, but because I know we've probably still got like another 4 to 6 weeks and then go from there. But at this stage, I'm like, oh, I know that Harriet will be ready. And I know, because she's already showing those kind of signs, but also like, I know now I'm like, oh, I'm physically ready to get to a point where my body's my own again, because it's almost been like 20 months, 21 months of giving physically and emotionally and energetically. That I'm like, oh, actually, I'm at that point.
And I was reading an article about that. When you're pregnant, your body's not your own, and then you give birth, and then if you choose and if you can breastfeed, forever how long that period of time may be, your body's not your own either.
No, it's actually not. Like, it's so it's just so interesting, and it's been a beautiful
fascinating journey. Looking at it from that perspective. Yes. That,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, I know we're so fortunate to be able to breastfeed, but I also think it's important to acknowledge that it can be very taxing, and I think everyone is going to choose to finish at different times. And I think whatever time you decide to finish, or if you decide not to breastfeed, that's completely okay. Or whatever you decide on, however you want to nourish your baby. But that's an interesting journey of where I'm at 11 months postpartum. Then physically has been a big one. I always said to myself, which I'm so glad I did, like, Liz, it will take at least 1 year of you to recover. And that is such a gift that Chinese medicine had given me, as well as all the knowledge from the postnatal side of things. But I think that's really been quite true for me, because after giving birth to quite a large baby, I have continued to be at risk of prolapse due to my pelvic floor. So, I'm at a point where I started physio Pilates 6 weeks postpartum. And then I went into doing Pilates, which was like the biggest gift ever of having that first time to me and feeling strong again, which is something I'd missed in that early postpartum stage. And then throughout pregnancy, I would continue doing my weights. Really, like, I was going into labor and I didn't really realize, and I was at Pilates. So, like, I continued to do it, but the first 40 days, like, was a time where I was like, oh my gosh, my body feels deficient. And, I was just so good to get that strength back. So I think I got the okay to go back to the gym at 9 months postpartum. And that has, that's been amazing, that, like, to have that strength there and that combination of the gym and being able to go to Pilates has been incredible. I still, I'm unable to still run or jump, but that's okay. As we just said, like, I'm really not having a yearning to do that at the moment.
Weights and Pilates has been such a huge part of your life.
It's the biggest
feeling
thing.
So strong and, you know, makes you feel so good.
So good. And then 11 month postpartum for me, just to quickly touch on, I also had the privilege to be able to go back to work as well, which I know not every woman does, but for me, that was the greatest gift.
How many months was Harriet when you went back?
So I was doing like light duties from when Harriet was born all the way through to 4 months, which, to be truly honest, for me, as you know, Georgia, I love my workload. I love clinic, but I also love the background of the DAO. So to be able to have a little bit of light duties in the background also really helped me to feel like I had achieved something else from my old self from postpartum all the way up to 4 months. And then I went back to one clinic day when Harriet was 4 months old, which really was so healing for me in so many ways, because as you do, like, we love to practice. I love Chinese medicine. I love to treat people. And really the DAO was my first baby. So I think
Dad was your first baby.
It's part of who I am. Yeah. So to be able to go back was actually just such a gift. And I've really loved being back. And I remember hearing on a podcast about the type of mother that you are, and I've definitely learned about myself that I'm a better mother and I have more to give when I work. If that makes sense. So when I have that space to be able to work, then I can come home and I know that I have more capacity as a mother as well.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
I think that's similar to the situation, I guess, that I was in. So I've just gone back to work. So Remy was 6 months when I went back.
Yeah. And so this is new.
So all new. And I was reading in some forums about, you know, when to go back to work and particularly when to put your child in daycare, because Remy's in daycare. So I just work 2 days a week. Remy's in daycare on one day and then my husband looks after her on the weekend.
Yeah,
but I was reading like through these forums and mothers were talking about different ages that their babies were when they went back to work. And the general consensus is that if it makes you feel good So the general consensus is if it makes you as a mother feel good and you're able to support your family, whatever way that may be, financially, or if you don't have another option not to go back to work, then it's the best thing for you and your baby.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah,
amazing. So I think from our perspective, being able to go back to work and having a job that we love, but yeah. also coming home and doing our job at home as a mother the best that we can because we've had that time at work.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And I think we are so lucky because we are able to say, for example, work on a Saturday where our husbands are able to take care of our daughters and we're able to yeah. organize the hours that we want to work. Like it is an incredible privilege, that we have. But yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it. Like I think, and yeah. whatever works best for you as a mother and whatever works best for your family unit.
Totally. And there's no rules.
There's no yeah. rules. And then I just think ongoing care is really important just to recognize that postpartum is for a long period of time. There is that saying of like postpartum is forever, but like, let's like in reality say like, you know, it's not just that first 6 weeks. It's not just the first 40 days. It is at least a year. And we need to yeah. talk about like postnatal depletion. But also I think it's one of those things where you continue to need ongoing care in whatever form that may be for you. For me, that's acupuncture, that's psychology, and that's seeing a women's health physio. And I find that that has supported me so much postnatal and in postpartum.
That's great. And I think it's great that you set that up before you fell pregnant yeah. and during your pregnancy and postpartum.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
How about you, Georgia?
So I'm 7 months postpartum. Randomly yes. 7 months old now.
Which is crazy. I can't believe she's 7 months already.
It's just flown. But I'm the same as you. My husband and I chat about how we can't imagine our life without her. No. You know, it's like she's been in it forever.
Yeah.
But I guess similar, I have a new kind of appreciation for my body that I didn't have before.
Okay.
And I've noticed a huge shift in priorities.
Interesting.
Which is amazing and it feels really good and I feel like I'm in a really good place.
Yeah, amazing.
Which is great. So like I said, I've just gone back to work. And I guess for the past three weeks it's been just about navigating my work and motherhood and what that looks like. And yes. I know people listening are probably like, you're only there 2 days a week, but
no,
breastfeeding and pumping.
Yeah, that's
And making sure there's enough yeah. milk supply. And I know I'm fortunate to be able to breastfeed and having that experience.
Yes.
But the admin of that, you know, it's like
admin of pumping is like I'm so excited to say goodbye to pumping.
I know, me too.
Oh my gosh, like I've tried to make it enjoyable, like reading a book while I'm pumping or like meditating while I'm pumping. But it's just like, oh, it's just, and it is an ongoing pressure, right? Because how much milk are you going to get from that pump?
Yes.
Highly recommend the Spectre. I think it's the S9.
That's the one that I have as well from your recommendation.
Yes. And the taking consultant recommended that to me. Highly recommend. That's a hospital grade one. So anyone who's listening, brilliant, Spectre S9. Highly recommend.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes as well.
Put it in the show notes. Yeah.
But it's funny because you wake up at say 2 a.m. and if Remy wakes up and I'm breastfeeding and it's a really nice experience, the two of us in the middle of the night and it's beautiful, breastfeeding.
Yeah.
But then if she doesn't wake up and it's 2 a.m. and I'm sitting in the spare room and I'm pumping and I'm looking at the porn, like,
just
I wish I was asleep.
I know. And when the alarm goes off to pump in the night, and you're just like, this is, no, there's not much oxytocin going on there, girlfriend.
No. So that's the reality of that.
That's the reality of that. Yeah. And I think that's the thing, Georgia, like navigating motherhood and working, it's an ongoing project. And especially as they
definitely
change and grow.
But more so, I'm so, so happy to be back in clinic.
Isn't it just?
I just love it. Like being able to do something that I love and treating in a way that I love and treating from a place of experience now.
Yeah.
It's been a really nice shift. Really, really great.
Isn't it? Yeah. It's just such a treasure. We are so lucky to be Chinese medicine practitioners.
We are. Yeah. And then from, I guess, an exercise point of view, from the guidance of my women's health physio. So I did go back to Pilates, and then I've just been doing Pilates. So the Pilates studio I go to, they do Pilates and like a light weights classes.
Nice.
So I've been doing those classes and it feels really good. And from a Chinese medicine perspective, I am depleted. As a mother, I know I'm more depleted than what I usually would be.
Yeah.
And I don't think I need to be doing high intensity exercise or running to completely deplete my body even more. Mm. So this feels really good and it makes me feel really strong. So
amazing. That's
great. And it feels good for my mental health. I think that's the big one.
That's a big one. And you've got something there that you're giving back to yourself at a time where you're giving so much. So
yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And then the last thing is I'm just loving the slower paced weekends, loving slower paced life in general.
Yeah. It's beautiful, isn't it?
It's been a really great shift. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. The biggest gift in so many ways. The
biggest gift. Yeah. 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 So it's been so nice for us to chat about the fourth trimester from an experience perspective. Reflecting and listening to that episode that we did last year. I think it was around this time last year.
Yes,
and we had so much information.
So and much. Then so much.
Just the so knowledge relieved. And pardon.
No, you finish. Sorry.
Oh, just the knowledge and the experience that we have now and talking about it from our perspective now, I feel like, oh my gosh, so much has changed.
Oh my gosh, I know. Like listening to that episode, like you were just about to move to Melbourne. I had like 6 weeks left of work before going on maternity leave. And I was just thinking, I was just like putting myself back in those shoes, being in that clinic room that we recorded that in, just being like, oh my goodness, like the changes in a year are unbelievable. And I couldn't be more prouder of us, to be honest.
I agree. Mm. So much has changed, but so many beautiful things have happened.
Oh, yes.
And, yeah, it's been a great shift, but, yeah.
Yeah.
Very, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was a fun episode for the return of season 3. Yay!
I know, we did it. Yay, so thank you everyone for listening. Liz, I think you wanted to finish up with a few notes.
Oh, yes. So, so the style of season 3 will be slightly more personalized as we share our pearls of wisdom. And we will be jumping into how you can prepare for birth and an insight into our birth stories in the next episode. But for this episode, if you have enjoyed the episode and you've been able to take something away, then that is something that we're really happy about. And if you are capable to do so and you would like to, then I would really appreciate a donation to Heart Kids Australia. They support children with congenital heart disease and their families as well. So we'll include the details for the charity in the show notes. So thank you for listening and we will
see you. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please like, subscribe, and write a review so we can raise awareness and convey our message with as many people as possible.
For the links and research mentioned in this podcast, head to our show notes. If you would like to learn more, please follow us on Integrating Chinese Medicine on socials.